It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Have you needed a car repair lately, only to be told by your mechanic the part you need could take weeks to get in, or maybe a repair estimate you thought would come in at half the price? We get tips on car repair, winterizing your vehicle, how to shop and negotiate price in these times. And thanks to Turley and Sullivan, who told us during our recent caller-only program that this is a conversation they'd appreciate. Join in 800-642-1234. Kaya Milstein is an automotive educator and owner of Milwaukee-based Mechanic Shop Femme. Kaya, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, how much do you think drivers actually know about how their car works? What do you see out there?
I feel like drivers know a little bit more than they think they know, but sometimes they just don't trust themselves with the information that they feel like they already know.
So what are some things that you find where, you know, drivers are just really uneducated about with their cars?
When it comes to vehicle preventive maintenance, I feel like that's a big area where folks are just unsure of what they need to do to take care of their car, and often lean towards either doing too much vehicle maintenance or doing not enough vehicle maintenance, because either they think their mechanic is just trying to scam them and get more money out of them to get more services done on their car, or they think, you know, that they need to do absolutely everything so that their car is in good working order.
Yeah, I mean, when mechanics make recommendations, it seems like we're conditioned to react by being skeptical, like maybe that we really don't need it. Should we more often take mechanics at their word?
You could, but it's also good to ask questions. So I always like car owners to start by looking in their owner's manual when it comes to preventive maintenance you do to prevent future problems like oil changes and power steering fluid changes and tire rotations. Your owner's manual made by the vehicle manufacturer has available a long list of maintenance that your car needs, telling you when to do the maintenance, at what mileage. And that is definitely a good starting point. When your mechanic makes a suggestion for a specific preventive maintenance or any other repair, it's always good to ask questions. You can ask them why they think you need it. Why do they think you need it right now? Can they prioritize this? Is this something that needs to be done right now because it's a critical repair that's going to cause immediate breakdown or safety risk? Or is this something that you might be able to leave for a couple months till your next oil change, or maybe even a couple weeks till your next paycheck?
So what should people consider when winterizing their car, as winter is ahead of us?
Winterizing is a little bit of a misnomer, if you will. When people think of winterizing their car, they think of making sure that their car is going to work well throughout the winter, that there's nothing that's going to fail on their vehicle, like batteries or brakes or tires or things like that. But in some cases, mechanics look at winterizing a little bit differently, and they recommend changing things like your coolant and the thermostat in your cooling system. But rather, it's sort of like a combination of both. If you routinely maintenance your car, if you follow your owner's manual, you check your tire pressure, you change your oil when it's necessary, you change your wiper blades, you maintain your tires, then really right before winter, there's nothing specific that you need to do to take care of it. It's always good to get an extra checkup, you know, to check those brakes and tires and fluids, to make sure that you have seasonally appropriate washer fluid inside your car, that your wiper blades are operating correctly. Those are all good things to check before the winter time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you will need anything specific if you've been maintaining your car, but maybe you will. Just depends on where your car's at.
Let's take a call here. Stacy in Wausau with a question on tire pressure along those lines. Stacy, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much. Thanks. Question for Kaya. Yeah, I have a newer car, a Subaru Outback, and the tire pressure light popped on. I had to Google it because I didn't know what it was. And it just came on, and it will go off and come back on, and my tires are fine. I checked the pressure. And I guess I'm just wondering if I can just ignore it and if you have any advice for me.
Stacy, thank you. Kaya, what would you suggest?
That's a great question, Stacey. I was actually in my own Subaru yesterday and my tire pressure light popped on. And it's a very common thing to happen this time of year. So when it comes to tire pressure in general, you should be checking your tire pressure at least once a month. Even if you do have a car like Subaru or any car made after 2018, any car that's made after 2008, you still want to check your tire pressure once a month. The reason for this is because your tire pressure light does not come on in most cars until the tire pressure is 25% below where it should be, not just a little bit below. So what happens when it gets really cold and then it sort of warms up and the temperature fluctuates is that your tire pressure that was a little bit above that 25% mark will now drop below. Your tire pressure light will come on, you'll adjust your tire pressure, and then it could become this cycle. So basically, if you actually go and check your tire pressure once a month, adjust your tire pressure correctly, then your light in theory should go away. If your tire pressure is adjusted correctly and all your tires look good, there's no nails or anything wrong with the tires themselves, then it's entirely possible that the sensor itself is not working. Very common problem, especially in the Midwest where there's lots of snow and salt that could cause damage to the tire pressure sensor. So again, what I would do is I would go and check your tire pressure. I would also make sure that you're checking your tire pressure based on the numbers that are inside your driver's side door. A lot of people have the tendency and we're taught to check the tire pressure based on the PSI that's listed on the side of the tire, but that's actually not accurate. The side of the tire tells you the maximum PSI, not the optimal PSI. So open your driver's side door. Inside the door jamb should be a sticker that will give you lots of information about your tires, including your tire size and what your tire pressure should be in the front and in the back. Make sure you check your tire pressure when your tires are cold, which means you haven't driven on them for at least 4 hours, or you know the car's been sitting overnight. When you use those numbers and check your tire pressure based on those numbers, you will probably find that you may need to make a little bit of adjustment, and then you'll be good to go.
Stacy, thank you for the call. We have Akaya Milstein of Mechanic Shop Femme, empowers and educates car owners in Wisconsin and beyond. Join in with all your car-related questions, repairs, DIY help on keeping your car safe and dependable on the road. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Car repairs, they have gotten more expensive, and delaying maintenance may be costlier in the long run. That's according to NerdWallet, and their headline says it all. Why your $50 oil change just cost $500. Join in on car repairs, maintenance, share your experience buying a new or used vehicle, 800-642-1234. Kaya Milstein is a journalist covering cars and travel with a background in the automotive repair industry and stays with us. Let's bring in Paula now in Oshkosh. Paula, hi. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you for the program. I'm asking about my daughter's 2010 Ford. She went to get her tires replaced. She was told that they are cupping, which is bad, but the auto place said that the bottom of her car was too rusted, that they couldn't lift it to replace the tires. And is that a thing? I mean, is there, I don't know, that sounded odd to me. And rather than, you know, getting a new car, trading it because we can't replace the tires, can we replace the tires?
Paula, thank you. Kaya, what would be going on here with a rusted out undercarriage?
It's entirely possible that the lift point where the lift needs to be mounted, essentially, in order to lift the car is just too rusted. Sometimes there are other ways that they can lift the car. If they can get creative, you might want to take it to a different mechanic. But if the underside of the car, especially at those mount points, is significantly rusted to the point that they don't think that they can lift the car, it's probably indicative that you have other rust problems too, like rust in the subframe,
brake line rust, fuel line rust, and it might be worth getting your car completely or your daughter's car completely checked over to see if there is rust that will be considered a safety issue where you will not want to continue fixing the car, because you wouldn't want to put on some very expensive tires onto a car that's only going to have a major safety concern in a very short while from here.
Are there other options for getting the car on a lift? I mean, you mentioned that they could have other lift points, but even being able to just jack up the car enough to put on a tire, would that be an option?
Sometimes it really depends on where the rust is underneath the car. Okay. If you could take it to a different mechanic, they may be able to find a different place to jack it up if they're going to be a little bit creative. But a lot of it is going to depend on the severity of the rust and where exactly it is and how far it extends as to whether they're willing to risk that and risk causing further problems or risk the car not actually being held up by the lift and the lift sort of going through the rust.
Along the lines on tires, Margie from Nina wants to know if it is important to replace all four tires at once, or can Nina replace one at a time? What would you suggest?
That's a wonderful question. So it depends. If you have a two-wheel drive car, whether it's front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive, you could replace two tires at a time. It's never recommended to replace one tire at a time, although there are certainly exceptions. If you do not have the money to replace both tires and you just have to do one tire, then it's better to replace one tire than to drive on a bad tire. But when possible, replacing two tires at the same time on a two-wheel drive car is best. But if you have an all-wheel or four-wheel drive car, most of these manufacturers require that you replace all four tires at the same time so that they're all wearing down at the same speed. Now, there are some ways to get around this. There are some tire companies that will, like, let's say you're driving down the road and you get a nail in your tire in a place where it can't be fixed, and you replaced your tires 2 years ago, you don't want to replace all four of them again. There are some companies that will actually shave down the tire so that it matches the rest of your tires. This isn't a solution for every single situation, and it's really actually quite a rare option that you can have. But in some of those moments where you have three tires that are perfectly fine and you just need one in an all-wheel drive car, that is definitely an option.
And when are snow tires worth the extra expense?
That is an excellent question. You know, between 2007 and 2016, they say that 16% of all crash fatalities were related to rain, sleet, fog, and ice, which is a lot. And 22% of all crashes were related to these elements. So, of course, when possible, buying winter tires in areas where you have to commute often in the snow is your best bet. But unfortunately, buying winter tires can be expensive because you cannot use winter tires in the summertime, which often means that you need two sets of wheels, that they need to be switched out before the winter and switched back out after the winter. So most people settle for a good all-season tire, which it works better in the snow than, let's say, summer tires or performance tires, but it's still not the best option. Most recently, there's a new type of tire that's come out, which is called an all-weather tire. This tire incorporates some of those important elements from the winter tires, and it's still available to be driven year-round. So that's actually what I just installed on my car, which is a Michelin Cross Climate 2. And those are all-weather tires that are rated and tested in the wintertime, which are a good solution for people who can't afford to buy two sets of tires and switch them out.
And when you're going tire shopping, what are some pointers there when you're picking out a set of tires and trying to do some price comparisons? Anything that we should bear in mind?
When you go shopping for tires, a lot of people don't shop until they need the tires. You know, they're in the mechanic, they've got an oil change, and their mechanic says, oh, by the way, you're going to need tires now. And you're like, oh, gosh, $900. I don't know if this is the best solution, and I don't have time to shop around. So I think your number one tip for buying tires is definitely to know that you need tires in advance and to shop for tires in advance, because tires go on sale just like retail products. So Thanksgiving, Black Friday, great time to purchase tires. Anytime that you expect clothing or gifts or any other types of products like that to go on sale, you can expect the tires will go on sale too. So what I recommend to folks, and there's three different ways for you to check, you know, how quickly your tires are wearing. The most effective of those ways is to get a tire tread depth gauge. Only a couple dollars, and you can buy them at most online parts stores. Sometimes you can buy them in person, but not in every single place. And this will actually have like color-coded red, yellow, and green, so that when you check your tread depth, which is very easy, will take you less than a couple of minutes for all your tires, it will tell you how much lower your tread is getting and will help you see visually when your tires are going to need to be replaced when it's coming up quickly. So that will allow you to shop early so you can find the best deals, the best rebates, so you can get the best price tires.
Wisconsin-based Kaya Milstein, founder of Mechanic Shop Femme, as we talk about car repairs, shopping for tires, shopping for a used vehicle, and your questions, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we get tips on car maintenance and repairs with the winter driving season upon us, AAA in a study this year said the average car owner pays a little less than 10 cents per mile for maintenance and repairs in a given year. That works out to just over $1,400 if you're driving about 15,000 miles. Join in on car repair costs and issues that have come up for you, 800-642-1234. Automotive educator Kaya Milstein is founder of Mechanic Shop Femme and stays with us. Let's bring in Ricky now in Oconomowoc. Ricky, hi, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have two resources and two questions. The one resource is a book called, I think it's The Girl's Glove Box Guide to Auto Repair. And the other is a tire resource here in Oconomowoc called Big Bear Tire. Really good people, good service, good prices. And then I had two questions. One was on the quality of technicians that are out there now. But also, I was going to incur a $600 charge for some worn bushings. So I'm just wondering about what are bushings and how emergent is that?
All right, Ricky, bringing up a lot of points there. Kaya, go ahead.
So all excellent questions. Let's start with the bushings. So bushings are basically made out of rubber. They are hollow in the middle, and they're designed to reduce vibration, and they're also designed to help so that the joints will all be able to move. So if you start feeling like a vibration in the front or sometimes a banging or clanking, that's often because the rubber in the bushings has worn down and that the bushings need to be replaced. For a lot of parts, the bushings are now coming with the part. Like depending on the car you have, your control arm might come with the bushing. You have to replace the whole unit together. But it's definitely important to make sure that all the parts can move smoothly and so that you don't get a lot of that road noise and vibration inside of the car.
Can you drive with worn bushings?
It depends on how worn they are. Okay. Eventually, the bushing can break. The part can break out of the bushing. You can feel the road noise and vibration in the car, which can distract you while you are driving. So it really depends on how the extent of the damage. But generally, this is something that you're going to want to change as soon as it goes back.
And what about the cost? What might this repair run?
That completely depends on which bushings your car needs and where you're getting it done. What I always recommend is there's a website called RepairPal.com, and they have gathered data points for many, many, many vehicles in many different areas and for a whole host of repairs. So you can actually go on to RepairPal.com, and you could input the year, make, and model of your car, which will also impact the cost of your repair, and the repair itself that you're going to need, and your zip code, and they will tell you what the average price for this repair is in your area.
Ooh, what a resource there. And Ricky also brought up another resource as well, the Girls Auto Clinic Guide. Any suggestions there?
I have personally not read it, but I am in their Facebook group. They have a great Facebook group online that might be worth checking out.
All right. Well, Greg from Rhinelander called and said a mechanic in Montana refused to change the studded snow tires on Greg's daughter's car because they are 9 years old. Greg's wondering, is this common? And Greg says the tires did not have any cracks in them.
I've never heard of anybody refusing to change tires on somebody's car because of the age of the tire, especially if the tire doesn't show any specific damage. The average age that you're going to be replacing any tire is going to be between 6 and 10 years, even if the tire looks perfectly fine and there's no cracking. So I wonder if there was some other underlying problem that caused them to not want to replace the tires. For example, if there was damage to the wheel, or if for some reason the tires would cause damage to their equipment. But it might be worth checking out another shop and seeing if somebody else would be able to handle it.
Okay, shop around there. Greg, thank you for that. Let's go to Gianni in Montello. Gianni, hi.
Yes, good morning. My question concerns the repair of a head gasket on an older car. I'm told that there are additives available, over-the-counter additives, that you can add to the antifreeze to help seal that up. So my question is, are there any problems with these additives? Do they cause harm, or do they seal the head gasket, and does it solve the problem? And second, how do we know when we have a head gasket leaking?
Oh, that's great. Kaya?
Great question. So we'll start with how do you know that your head gasket's leaking? And it kind of depends. One of the big, like, indicators that your head gasket's leaking is if you check your oil and your oil has been contaminated with coolant. That's definitely something that would show, hey, you may need to have your head gasket repaired, and it at least should raise a red flag that you should go into your mechanic to get the vehicle checked out. When it comes specifically to head gasket sealers and repairs, I haven't found that this is something that is particularly effective, but depending on the age of the car and the value of the car and whether you would actually go through with repairing the head gasket, because that's a very expensive repair, it might not hurt for you to try it. What specific brand you should try, I wouldn't be able to give you a suggestion on that, but perhaps your mechanic will.
Gianni, thank you so much. We have Kaya Milstein with us, automotive educator and journalist, fielding your questions about car repair and maintenance at 800-642-1234. Kaya, we haven't talked about windshield wiper blades yet. How can we take better care of our wiper blades?
Well, the first way you can take better care of your wiper blades is not using them when you don't need to use your wiper blades. So when it snows and there's ice on your windshield, don't use your wiper blades to clean off the ice. When there's dirt on your windshield, do your best, unless you're driving, of course, to actually clean that off your windshield before you use your wiper blades. Your wiper blades are made out of a very, very thin piece of rubber. And I once had, I believe from Christian Brothers Automotive Group, they told me it was like rubbing your wiper blades against a piece of sandpaper when you rub it against the ice. You're causing that very smooth, very narrow, small piece of rubber to get jagged edges in it, so that it doesn't clean your windshield as effectively. So one, don't use your wiper blades as you wouldn't need to use them. Clean your windshield. And most people don't know that you really do have to change your wiper blades about once or twice a year. So it's worth checking them out once in a while, looking at them, seeing if there's any damage to them. If there isn't and it's not cleaning your windshield anyway, then I would clean your windshield off itself. And I would take like an alcohol wipe and wipe the edge of the windshield wiper blade itself and see if that helps. Not something I would do regularly because you'll dry out the rubber and cause a whole different host of problems. But if you're finding that you've just put new wiper blades on your car or you put them on recently and your windshield's not getting clean, clean the windshield, clean the wiper blade, and you'll probably get a much better seal.
What about size? Because wiper blades are determined by length. What size should we look for?
So there's a couple ways you can determine the lengths of your wiper blades. You can measure the wiper blade itself, but that's the most helpful way of doing it. You can go onto any parts store website, and you could put in the year, make, and model of your car, and it will tell you what length your wiper blades are. Or if you're in a parts store, usually there's this little book hanging off the side of the wiper blade display. And if you look in there for the year, make, and model of your car, it will tell you the length of your front wiper blades, both left and right, and your rear wiper blade if you have one.
All right. We heard from Marcus in Milwaukee, called in and said that they heard 15 cents a mile is the average cost for car repairs. And Marcus wants to know if that is the same uniformly across the country. Does that cost increase here in Wisconsin because of salt damage, or in a city because of the stop-and-go traffic? What could impact the cost for car repairs in terms of where we live?
That's a great question. So I don't know the exact number for the cost of repairing cars in general, but I can tell you that what impacts how much it will cost you to repair your car and how often you will need to repair your car depends on so many different factors, including the ones that you mentioned. What kind of car do you have? Some cars are more expensive to repair. What area of the country do you live in? Do you live in a place where you're in constant stop-and-go traffic? You're probably going to need to repair your car more often. Places that have heavy snow and heavy salt, you tend to need to repair your car more often. Folks that don't be meticulous about their preventive maintenance can also cause their car to need to be repaired more often, which would increase your overall vehicle ownership cost and repair cost.
You have this list of gadgets that people should keep in their trunks. One gadget you recommend is a jump starter and an air compressor combo. Can you tell us about some of the things that we should keep with us?
Sure. So I am actually completely in love with the jump starter. I know that a lot of folks carry jumper cables in their trunk. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to use jumper cables, you need another vehicle. You need somebody who's willing to stand out in the freezing cold while you jumpstart your car in the middle of the winter, which, of course, is inevitably when your battery goes bad, right?
Yep.
So what I recommend is actually a jump starter, which is its own battery, where you do not need any other vehicle in order to jumpstart your car. The one that I have is about the size of a cell phone, plus it has those little clamps, and it fits right into my glove box. And I cannot count the amount of times that one of my sisters, I have 14 siblings, has called me and said, "Hey, can I borrow your jump starter? My car is dead in XYZ place," because it's definitely very useful. When it comes to tire pressure and maintaining your tires, we talked earlier about how critical that is. Tire pressure gauge to figure out how much air is in your tires, because it's best to check your tire pressure when you haven't been driving your car. So when your car has been sitting for 4 hours or it's been sitting overnight. So a tire pressure gauge is excellent. There are lots and lots of different tire pressure gauges out there. There are ones that are digital. There are ones that are manual. I tend to find that people who don't check their tire pressure regularly will find that the digital gauge will be the best one to use. And then to accompany it, you have the tire inflator, which will help you adjust your tire pressure without having to go to the gas station to have that adjusted. And they're both really inexpensive. You can get an inflator for around $20, $25. You can get a digital tire pressure gauge for between $10 and $12.
Okay. Wisconsin-based automotive educator Kaya Milstein. She's our guide to learning more about our car, how to buy and take care of it. Still time to discuss what's going on with your vehicle, or perhaps you're shopping for one now. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation on car repair and maintenance. People hanging on to their cars longer and longer these days, according to a study by S&P Mobility. Average age of a car out on the road is just north of 12 years old. Car in Our Garage reflects that stat. Still time for your car story and issues. 800-642-1234. We have automotive educator Kaya Milstein, our guide. Kaya, you know, we've heard that buying a car right now is really tricky with the lack of inventory and high prices. If we can't put it off, what should people do when preparing to buy a car?
Give yourself as much time as possible. So if you know that your car is going down the drain and you know that you're going to need to replace it and you have some big repair that you've been putting off, don't wait until the car breaks down on the side of the road and you can no longer drive it without repairing it to start shopping for your car. Because there's a massive shortage of vehicles and car prices have gone up significantly, although they seem to have fallen by $230 in the last month, at least for new cars. Give yourself as much time as possible. Don't wait until the moment that your car is completely broken down on the road to start shopping for cars, or you're going to find yourself in a really uncomfortable position of you can't find the car you want, or you can find it, but you have to spend way more on the car than you actually want to spend on it.
Do you have any tips for negotiating on price?
Yes. Well, first of all, negotiating on price, one of the biggest things people do is just simply don't ask if there's any room in the price. Not everybody in the U.S. especially is very comfortable negotiating in general. So if you're one of those people, you should at the very least ask what they're willing to do on the car, how much they're willing to bring it down. But also keep in mind that price is not the only thing that you can negotiate on. If you're buying a used car and there are repairs that are necessary and you're buying it from the dealership, you can negotiate that they take care of those repairs before you purchase the vehicle. You can negotiate interest rates. Interest has gone up on cars and on everything else. However, there may be room for you to negotiate interest rate down 1% or maybe more. You can check out your local credit union and see if you're able to find an interest rate that's lower, which you can then leverage at the dealership, or just, you know, finance your car through your dealership itself. Looking at the fees that they charge you, there are some fees that you certainly would want to negotiate either down or completely away, like a reconditioning fee. If you're buying a used car, a car has to be reconditioned. They have to make sure that the car is safe to drive in order for you to buy it. So that should be already rolled into the price of the car and not charged separately. Same thing with advertising fees and things like that. And then you could also negotiate for extras. For example, my sister bought a car earlier this month, and we were able to negotiate for 2 free synthetic oil changes. That saved her maintenance costs for her first year on her new car, which helped her out. Not a lot of money, but something, and it all adds up when you put everything together.
Beyond the dealership model, there are a number of companies now in the buy your car online business, and I don't need to name names here, but do you have any things that we should know if we choose this path for getting a newer used vehicle?
So I'm very skeptical of buying a used car 100% online. For a new car, that's different. It's a very different situation. But when it comes to buying a used car, especially a used car that's out of warranty, I'm very skeptical about buying it online. There are money-back guarantees by all the major players. But if you financed your car through your own bank or your own financial institution, undoing those loans can be complicated. You could be without a car for 30 days while you work to undo the loan so that you can get a loan on another vehicle. So I'm a little bit skeptical. If you're buying a new car or if you're buying a car that's still under the manufacturer warranty, then I definitely have a lot more flexibility there. But the one thing that you should think about doing is definitely think about selling your car to one of these online retailers. Throughout the course of the pandemic, retailers like Carvana and Vroom and CarMax, which is a financial partner of Mechanic Shop Them, have offered the highest levels of payouts for used vehicles. So I always recommend that folks go onto all of these websites and get an instant quote on how much their car is worth before they decide what they're going to do with their used car, because that is also a point that you can negotiate. If the value of cars have gone up, then the value of your car has also gone up, and you want to be able to get the most for your vehicle so that can help offset the cost of the other vehicle that you're purchasing.
It's one less negotiation point there as you enter the dealership. If you have a newer car and it's still under warranty, do you have to take your car to the dealer for repairs and maintenance? So that you don't violate the warranty? Or can you go to your own mechanic?
No, you can absolutely go to your own mechanic. You are not required to repair your new vehicle at the dealership. This has been litigated at the highest levels. It's called the right to repair. And you have the right to repair your own vehicle or bring your vehicle to a mechanic of your choice to repair. There are a couple things to keep in mind, though. If you or your mechanic damaged the car, so like if the problem wasn't caused by the car or by driving, but it was caused by somebody doing an incorrect repair, then that would obviously void the warranty on the component that's being repaired, but not your warranty in general. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you do not maintain your car, then you are violating the terms of your warranty. And this goes for manufacturer warranty as well as extended warranties. You are obligated to maintain your car based on how the manufacturer recommends it be maintained. And if you don't, and then you neglect your car, that can cause warranty problems. For example, if you buy a brand new car, you don't change the oil for 3 years, and then your engine fails, they're going to ask you for proof that your oil was changed. And you'll have to facilitate and bring receipts of either receipts that you changed your oil at your mechanic or receipts that you purchased oil and filter from the auto shop, you know, from the auto parts store next door, and you did your own oil change in order for them to move forward with the warranty replacement.
Let's bring in Richard in Milwaukee now. Richard, what is your question?
I've got an older Toyota, and it's passed the emissions test in the past a couple times with the engine light on. And when I went through the emissions test, they failed at this time. And they've got three codes, EVAP system, incorrect bridge flow, and vent control circulation that they mentioned. And then I read through the handout, and before you can get a waiver, you have to spend like $950 just to get to the point that they're willing to consider a waiver. So I'm wondering, first of all, how expensive do you think the repair will be? And also,
Yes, and Richard, we're short on time. Very quickly here, Kaya, failing the emissions test and whether it's worth on a 22-year-old car to make those repairs.
If you fail the emissions test, that's only one outlook on your vehicle. That's only telling you what comes up when your check engine light comes on and the codes come up. What I would recommend before making a decision about whether you want to keep putting money into the car is to actually get the whole car checked out from top to bottom in like a multi-point inspection to see if there's any other problems going on with the car that are mechanical, any other safety concerns, to see how much all of those things would cost before you decide whether you're going to keep investing in your older vehicle.
Kaya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Kaya Milstein, founder of Milwaukee-based mechanic shop Femme, an automotive education company serving the U.S. and Canada. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.